Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 60, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. To thee I lift my soul, in thee my trust repose. My God, O put me not to shame before triumphant foes. And what follows, Psalter 60, the first three stanzas. The portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in 1 Samuel 4. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 Samuel 4. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. And now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle, and pitched beside Ebenezer, and the Philistines pitched in Aphek. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines. And they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. And when the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies. So the people went to Shiloh, that they might bring from thence the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the ark of the covenant of God. And when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, What meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews? And they understood that the ark of the Lord was come into the camp. And the Philistines were afraid, for they said, A God is come into the camp. And they said, Woe unto us, for there hath not been such a thing heretofore. Woe unto us, who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Be strong and quit yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews, as they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men and fight. And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten. And they fled every man into his tent, and there was a very great slaughter. For there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen, and the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. And there ran a man of Benjamin out of the army, and came to Shiloh the same day with his clothes rent, and with earth upon his head. And when he came, lo, Eli sat upon a seat by the wayside watching, for his heart trembled for the ark of God. And when the man came into the city and told it, all the city cried out. And when Eli heard the noise of the crying, he said, oh, what meaneth the noise of this tumult? And the man came in hastily and told Eli. Now Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were dim, that he could not see. And the man said unto Eli, I am he that came out of the army, and I fled today out of the army. And he said, oh, what is there done, my son? And the messenger answered and said, Israel has fled before the Philistines, and there hath been also a great slaughter among the people. And thy two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God is taken. And it came to pass, when he made mention of the ark of God, that he fell from off the seat backward, by the side of the gate, and his neck brake, and he died. For he was an old man and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. And his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child, and near to be delivered. And when she heard the tidings that the ark of God was taken, and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, as she bowed herself and travailed, for her pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the woman that stood by her said unto her, fear not, for thou wast born a son. But she answered not, neither did she regard it. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, the glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. O Lord of the heavens and of the earth, then thou wast granted by renewal on this cold winter evening, the last Lord's Day of this year, that has far run its course, that we may come up to thy house to hear what thou hast to say unto us. Then also the day is already far gone, and may the prayer of the travelers going to Emmaus, may that also be the prayer of us and our children, that the day is far spent, and that they have asked thee that thou would abide with them in all, Lord. Then thou hast answered their request. Wilt thou so also abide with us in a special way? Oh, do work lovingly and irresistibly by thy Holy Spirit, that this service, that it may be an unforgettable service, for the unconverted and for thy people. And then out of thy holy word, then we have heard of very solemn things. We have heard of Ichabod, and what a solemn matter it is when a nation, when a country, when it becomes Ichabod, where the glory of the Lord has departed. And, O Lord, those are the times that we live in. That is what our country has become, where our leaders, they are becoming bolder and bolder, resembling a Pharaoh of old who is the Lord, that I should obey him. Then the sins of this nation, then they cry unto the heavens for thy divine vengeance and wrath, where the unborn are continually murdered, the Lord's day desecrated, and the seventh commandment despised, where there is a mocking with thy creation ordinance, O Lord. Wilt thou impress it upon all our hearts what serious times that we live in, and that thy judgments, that they are hovering so low over the earth. Ah, to that end, may we be given by thy grace to seek for a hiding place. Oh, a place under the sheltering wings of Emmanuel, whose birth we have commemorated in the day of yesterday. Lord, it is a serious thing when also thy church becomes an Ichabod, when thy glory more and more departs, as we read among the children of Israel in the time of the prophets. O Lord, when the gold becomes dim, and to that end, we humbly beg of thee, forsake and leave us not. Take not the candlestick of the truth of thy holy word from amongst us and our dear children, but wilt thou grant more tokens of thy special favor, and that in the conversion of young and old, but also the further leadings in the life of thy people. Lord, may it please thee in these solemn times to do a great work amongst us, that thy great and worthy name may be glorified, and that thy kingdom may come. Lord, surely it is a very sad matter when there is written, when marriages start to resemble an Ichabod, and also the family circles, when there are such in our midst where thy restraining hand is removed, and where the love is waxing cold. Ah, wilt thou grant a place at thy footstool, to mightily cry unto thee, ah, grant repentance, May love abound what has been separated, and may it please thee to bring it together. But, O Lord, it is such a blessed matter when in the way of experience, when a sinner may be given to see that they have become an Ichabod, all through their actual sins, but to be led back to paradise where thou hast created mankind as the jewel of creation, but where we have broken that covenant, where we have transgressed all thy commandments, O Lord. Perhaps a few Ichabods have come up in this evening that write bitter things against themselves, and that with all their reformation, with all their tears, with all their repentance, oh, that they are given to experience an Ichabod still. But, oh Lord, then we have commemorated in the day of yesterday that thy dear Son has veiled his glory, was born in a stable, laid in a manger. He has come as that Savior, that such Ichabods, that he may be saved, that he may be restored into thy blessed communion. Oh, to receive a beginning to sing thy praises, as we have heard in this morning from a Simeon. Ah, Lord, wilt thou then work mightily and irresistibly in the hearts of young and old? These matters need to be learned, because what shall it be at the end of our life, when then it is written over us, Ichabod, and all our own fault, and then our eternal destination, the place where hope shall never come, and prayer need not to be made. Lord, wilt thou so remember the consistory, who is sufficient unto these things? Thou hast helped hitherto in this year, and then we commend unto thee those that have been chosen in the past weeks, and who hope to be installed in the coming week. Ah, those that have been chosen by renewal, they have learned how dependent they are upon thee for everything. And him that has been chosen for the first time, O Lord, thou knowest the mountains there can be, the impossibility, may his eye be upon thee, and that he may be given to experience that his help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth. Bless, O thy word in the church. Bless thy word in the family circles. And bless also our Christian school. A few weeks where the staff, where the students shall not gather, wilt thou grant refreshment for the mind and for the body, and, O Lord, do spare, protect, and keep that at the appointed time they may meet one another by renewal. Then in this day by renewal, then we remember all the mourning ones. Ah, Lord, do remember them. Remember our elderly ones. Remember our Bethesda, the staff and all the residents. Wilt thou remember the elderly ones that may still go in and out, who may come up to thy house? O Lord, above all things, do save their never-dying souls. Remember all the afflicted ones, the father in the hospital, once more in this day, we commend them unto thee. Remember all those that stand in need of healing and strengthening, the cares and the fears concerning the body. Remember the handicapped, the crosses, the burdens. Remember prodigal sons and prodigal daughters. Lord, wilt thou remember man and beast in the cold of the winter weather? Oh, then thou art declaring that thou art that faithful God, where thou wast promised to Noah, that cold and heat and summer and winter shall not cease. Then we may see thy hand therein. But, Lord, do remember us, and then we are greatly privileged above many upon this world, where with the approach of the cold, many fears and many concerns, where they have not the means to purchase heat and to purchase sufficient food. In our country, also in our province, there are the homeless ones, Lord. Then how blessed we are. May we be humbled thereunder, become small under thee. And now, Lord, we humbly ask thee for thy gracious help. Grant thy spirit in speaking and in listening. May thy word go forth with power divine, and that on this last Lord's day thy kingdom may come, thy great and worthy name glorified. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 143, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O God, according to thy grace, be merciful to me, and thy abounding love blot out all my iniquity and what follows. Psalter 143, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 27, the question and answer 72, 73, and 74. Question 72, is then the external baptism with water the washing away of sin itself? Answer, not at all. For the blood of Jesus Christ only and the Holy Ghost cleanse us from all sin. Question 73, why then doth the Holy Ghost call baptism the washing of regeneration and the washing away of sins? Answer, God speaks thus, not without great cause, to wit, not only thereby to teach us that as the filth of the body is purged away by water, so our sins are removed by the blood and spirit of Jesus Christ, but especially that by this divine pledge and sign, he may assure us that we are spiritually cleansed from our sins as really as we are externally washed with water. Question 74, are infants also to be baptized? Answer, yes, for since they, as well as the adult, are included in the covenant and church of God, and since redemption from sin by the blood of Christ and the Holy Ghost, the author of faith, is promised to them, and no less than to the adult, they must therefore by baptism, as a sign of the covenant, be also admitted into the Christian church and be distinguished from the children of unbelievers, as was done in the old covenant or testament by circumcision, instead of which baptism is instituted in the new covenant. Lord's Day 27 is a reflection service upon the water of holy baptism of Lord's Day number 26. Three thoughts. First, viewing the water too highly. Secondly, viewing the water too lowly. And thirdly, confining the water too narrowly. A reflection service upon the water of holy baptism of Lord's Day number 26. Viewing the water too highly, viewing the water too lowly, and confining the water too narrowly. Thus first, viewing the water too highly. Beloved congregation, the Lord has granted 3 weeks ago that 12 fathers and mothers were privileged to present their children before the Lord in a special way, to receive the sign and the seal of the covenant and the Lord's thrice holy name upon the foreheads of their little children. In that service, we have considered shortly a Lord's Day number 26, where an explanation was given of the sacrament of holy baptism. And now in this evening hour, then it may be a reflection service upon the water of holy baptism, a reflection service for those parents, but for the whole congregation. And now concerning the understanding of the sacrament of holy baptism and how we view the water of baptism, that shall make a great difference also for parents when they return to their dwellings with their little infant children. That shall make a great difference concerning the exercises, concerning the sacrament. Thus in this evening, when we call it a reflection service for the Lord's Supper, then we understand what a reflection of post-communion service is. But now in this evening, a reflection service upon the administration of the sacrament of holy baptism. That means, fathers and mothers, that when we have presented our children before the Lord to receive that sacrament, that means that we are not finished. But then it is our obligation that we are given to reflect upon the sacrament and also upon the oath which we have made. And now there is asked in this Lord's Day, is then the external baptism with water the washing away of sin itself? Then children, then we must understand that question aright. Then the instructor is not asking whether water itself, when that water is sprinkled upon the foreheads of those little children, then the instructor is not asking whether that water itself washes away their sins. I think even our boys and girls, they can understand it. But then the question that our Heidelberg Catechism is asking at that time, at that moment, when that water may be sprinkled upon their foreheads, does now anything take place in the lives, in the hearts of those little children? That is the crucial question. And then the answer is, not at all. Thus that answer, fathers and mothers, that already has much to say in a reflection service. Because if that is the case, when we return with our little children to our homes, and that the water does not wash away their sins, then is there not much reason for special exercises and unceasing prayer that the Lord may do for us and our children what is signified therein. Concerning that question, what takes place when the sacrament is administered, then many ears have come in the midst of the church. And to that end, the instructors of our Heidelberg Catechism, they have different Lord's Days concerning the sacrament. Augustine, he has already stated in his writings, not so clear, but there are already references that he has given a magical power to the sacrament of holy baptism. And he has spoken about the washing away of original sin. But it is clear in the scriptures, and therefore our instructors, oh, the answer is short, not at all. Concerning water itself, I read in Jeremiah 2 verse 2, for though thou wash me with mitre, and take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before me, saith the Lord. And the Lord has a people upon the earth. Ah, when the Lord shows that, as it were, we are an Ichabod, no longer an image bearer of the Lord, then we take much water of repentance and reformation and tears, that we try to cleanse and purify ourselves. But the Spirit teaches His people, not at all, for the blood of Jesus Christ only and the Holy Ghost cleanse us from all sin. The Roman Catholic Church, they teach their people that the sacrament of holy baptism that washes away their original sin and the actual sins committed thus far, and that it grants sanctifying grace. Thus the church, they tell that it is indispensable. Without the sacrament of baptism, then we cannot be saved. And to that end, the baptism of extremity, that is, that when a child is born, and it seems that it shall die, and no priest can come, then whether a doctor or a nurse, they are commanded to administer that sacrament. But it is very clear from the scriptures that the sacrament, if we think of the Old Testament, then the sacrament of circumcision did not give grace, because Esau was a reprobate. And concerning the children of Israel of the Old Testament, then we read in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 5 that with many of them the Lord was not well pleased, and they were overthrown in the wilderness. Examples in the Bible where they have received grace before they have received the sacrament. Think of Abram. Think of the Ethiopian. I think of Lydia at the Lutheran Church, and they have not went as far as the Roman Catholic Church. But the Lutheran Church still declares they see the sacrament of baptism as a wagon that can bring grace to a person. Concerning the Reformed churches, then there are also many heirs. Abram Kuyper, who had a large part of leadership in the forming of the Christian Reformed Church in the year 1886, also had heirs concerning the sacrament of holy baptism, and he believed that the sacrament of baptism sealed the grace in the recipient. And then he came in a great struggle, a feeling he must be honest before a sender and before his people. And then he came in a great strait, because then the question for him was, how may I now baptize little children if I do not know that they have grace that can be sealed by the sacrament? And then to get out of his difficulty, then he has said, all children born under the confines of the covenant, then we must presume that they are regenerated. The Canadian Reformed Church, an offshoot, they even come across stronger. They say we must not presume, but they are in the covenant. And then they are told when they are born under the covenant in the church, and to say it respectfully, as long as they say stay in the ship of the church, then it shall be well. And if they jump out, then they have made a mistake. Then you can understand, young and old, what a dangerous and soul-deceiving doctrine that is, that people, that boys and girls are told that they are born under the covenant. Thus nothing really needs to happen. As long as we stay in the church, oh surely, in the earlier years, it was still stressed, that work of the Lord by the Spirit, that was necessary. And through the ages, what a deceitful doctrine. Then we can live in the world and live like the world. And as long as we are a member of the church, born under the covenant, being baptized, then it is well. Then undoubtedly, we have many times thought for that people that are so deceiving themselves, what an awful thing that is, and what it shall be to come before a closed door when they are ushered into eternity. But congregation, have you then ever thought that people, they are given to believe it is deceitful? But I believe that without grace, without being born again, without the work of the Holy Spirit, that I am lost. And if a wonder does not take place, then I must go to hell. And there is but one step between us and death. Have you then ever thought, then I am even more foolish than that people that are deceived, because I profess that the water in baptism has not washed away my sins. Without that new birth, I am still unconverted, traveling on that broad way to hell. Have we never thought, do I really believe what I profess? Do I really believe that I am lost and unconverted and be ushered into eternity any moment? Thus, then we are in reality not so different. Oh, it is still a privilege that we may have that old truth, where it may be proclaimed the necessity of that new birth, the wonderful works of the Lord, how a poor sinner may come to a saving knowledge of that precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, what is now so necessary? The work of the Holy Spirit in the hearts of young and old. Not at all for the blood of Jesus Christ only and the Holy Ghost cleanse us from all sin. Thus, when we consider our first point in the form which our fathers have composed, then there is written, it must not be done in the first place out of superstition, that we place too much value upon the sacrament. To that end, we have read together 1 Samuel 4 concerning the Ark of the Covenant. That was a token of the presence of the Lord and of His favor. It pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord has declared that in a special way, that He dwelt between the cherubims, the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud, that is rested upon the ark. But now in 1 Samuel 4, then we have heard it, that they have placed too much value upon that ark. And to that end, when 4,000 were slain, then they have spoken to one another, and they have said, let us fetch the ark, that the ark may be in our midst. But they did not have so much concern obeying the law that was in the midst of the ark. The Philistines, when they have heard the children of Israel shout, and there is much shouting in a nominal Christendom, when they have heard that shouting, then they have even exclaimed that something has happened that has not happened before. Then they have seen that ark as God Himself. On the other hand, then we have that old priest Eli and that God-fearing wife of Phinehas. Oh, they knew that the ark was not God, but a large place that the ark had in the midst of the children of Israel. It was a token of the presence of the Lord. And when Elias heard that the ark was taken, he died. When the wife of Phinehas has heard that the ark was taken, she has travailed, and she has said Ichabod in 1 Samuel 6. Then we receive further instruction concerning the ark, that when the Philistines, when they have returned the ark, then those reapers in Bathsheba, they were given to rejoice, and they have offered the wagon, the oxen, as a thanks offering unto the God, unto God. But then that reverence was missing. And then we read that they have looked into the ark, and that more than 50,000 were slain. Thus concerning the water of holy baptism, so important, the right understanding, and that shall also affect the reflection service, how it is with fathers and with mothers. Our second thought of viewing the water too lowly, then in our form, then we also read that the sacrament must not be administered out of custom. And to that end, question 73, if the blood of Jesus Christ only and the Holy Ghost cleanses from all sin, and if the water, at the moment when that water is sprinkled, when the sin is not washed away, then the question is, why then doth the Holy Ghost call baptism the washing of regeneration and the washing away of sins? The washing away of regeneration, that we find in Titus 3 verse 5. And the second expression in Acts 22 verse 16, concerning the baptism of Paul, of Saul. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, a calling on the name of the Lord. Then the instructor is given to ask if the water at the moment of the administration of the sacrament, when sin is not washed away, then the question is, why does the Holy Ghost, the inspiration of the Scriptures, use such strong language? And I read in Acts 15 verse 18, that known unto God are all his works, from the foundation of the world. Then the Lord knew that those expressions, that they would be misused, that they would be misapplied, that they would be misunderstood. But why in the Scriptures do we now read such strong language in reflecting upon the sacrament of baptism, that as fathers and mothers, that we do not underestimate baptism, that we may be given to see? And to that end, concerning our points, then it is necessary for the enlightening of the Holy Spirit to be given to see the riches that is declared in the administration of the sacrament of holy baptism. And then the instructor says, God speaks thus not without great cause, to wit, that means namely, not only thereby to teach us that as the filth of the body is purged away by water, so our sins are removed by the blood and spirit of Jesus Christ. Thus then the instructors are declaring that for us and our children, that the solemnity, the importance, but also the blessing of the sacrament may be portrayed, that we minimize it not. Ulrich Zwingli, especially at the beginning, sometime it is simplified, then Zwingli has seen it more only as a sign. But when we read his later writings, then it is clear that also for Zwingli, more light has fallen upon the sacrament. And what a privilege should that not be our prayer when the sacrament of holy baptism is administered in the midst of the congregation. Ah, Lord, send down thy light and thy spirit to be my guide, that I may see the riches that are declared therein, to encourage us and our children, because with the sacrament of holy baptism, it is such a rich preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then in the first place, the instructors, they speak of the sign that we may be taught. Oh, that parents, when they return to their homes, that they may be given to understand the uncleanness of their children, that the water itself has not cleansed our children, but that water, that it points to the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is declared a possibility, but also the sureness, because the King, he shall continue to gather his church, but not only a sign, but also the seal, to assure his church, that as surely as the water is sprinkled upon the foreheads of those little children, so surely the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that cleanses from all sin. And now, concerning a pledge, when does that now receive special value? If we take the natural example, a young man who hopes to become a bridegroom, and when he gives unto the bride-to-be, he asks for her hand in marriage and gives her a ring that is a promise, then such a ring has special value in the stressful circumstances. If such a bridegroom-to-be, if he would be called upon to make a journey, to go in the army, that they would be separated for a longer or a shorter time, then how often that bride-to-be, that she would look at her ring, that it would give her comfort. It was the promise that she has received, that when the Lord would grant it, that in due time they would be united in holy matrimony. Thus a reflection service upon baptism, what a privilege it is when it may be granted to fathers and mothers, that they may come with the sacrament of holy baptism, that they may come in their inner chamber, that they may be given to ask the Lord, that he may do for them, because the Lord has promised to remember his covenant. And now concerning that strong language, then concerning the sacraments, we read it in different places in the scriptures, a sacramental language, a circumcision, that is called the covenant, the lamb is called the Passover. Concerning the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, this is my body That means it signifies his body. Thus, a separate, clear instruction, profound instruction to that end. It has pleased the Holy Ghost to use such strong language that we would not minimize the sacrament, but that it may be for encouragement for us and our children, and that we may be given to beg of the Lord that he may fulfill for us and our children what is signified therein. Let us first sing. Psalter 48, the stanzas 5, 7, and 8. The ends of all the earth shall hear and turn unto the Lord in fear. All kindreds of the earth shall own and worship him as God alone. Psalter 48, the stanzas 5, 7, and 8.
Thank you.
our reflection service upon the water of holy baptism, of viewing the water too highly, of viewing the water too lowly, and now thirdly, of confining the water too narrowly. And then we read our infants also to be baptized. There are many churches that say no. And many of those churches have been founded because of the errors and the lifestyle of Reformed churches. That there were people that said, how can it all go together? It can make it more confusing for our people, where there are those that we have great respect for and that may preach the true experience of God's people. Then we think of the strict Baptist, shall mention only Philpot, that has received such a special gift to lay open the exercises of the people of God. But we must always remember also a Luther, a dear child of God, a servant of the Most High. He still had his heirs. And to that end, the answer, our infants also to be baptized, yes. For since they as well as the adult are included in the covenant, those that are in opposition to the baptism of infants, they make a separation between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And they shall try to tell us that the Lord works differently with the ingathering and also the preservation of His church in the New Testament than in the Old Testament. But it is clear in the Old Testament then under that external administration of the covenant, the Lord has promised and He has worked in a special way. And to that end, our instructors always also say to be distinguished from the children of unbelievers, as was done in the Old Covenant or Testament, by circumcision. Then the opponents of infant baptism, then they shall tell us that there is no command in the Bible that infants ought to be baptized. There is also no literal command that we must keep the first day of the week. There is no command because when Christ has instituted the Lord's Supper, it was only with His disciples. And further, no place in the Scripture has the Lord said that infants must not be baptized. When we think of the day of Pentecost, when 3,000 were pricked in their heart, and then they have said, men and brethren, what must we do? And then Peter has said in Acts 2, the verses 38 and 39, repent and be baptized, every one of you, and then for the promise is unto you and to your children. Oh, when we consider the Old and New Testament, then in the Old Testament, everything was more veiled. It was not clear. What a promises we have in the Old Testament, that the New Testament, that it would be a richer time for the church. And now in the Old Testament, what a special place that children had. The boys were circumcised the eighth day. We have heard this morning, the firstborn had to be redeemed. Boys and girls, they had to be brought to the temple with a sin and a burnt offering. Thus a special place under that external administration of the covenant. And now the opponents of infant baptism, then they tried to tell us that in the New Testament, that infant children and children, they really do not have a place in the church. And when we consider, very sad and distressing, at many churches, when we think of the strict Baptists, then they shall tell us that most of their churches are very small and very few youth. They shall also point us to Mark 16, verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. They shall say, first to believe and then to be baptized. But we must understand that it is a mission command. And if we take that text literally, and if it refers also to baptism and to children, but he that believeth not shall be damned, then it is implied that little children can never be saved. We read in Matthew 19, verse 14, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Then we read of those that have come with their children with a desire that the Lord would lay his hands upon them and bless them. Thus, when we consider the scriptures, then it is clear, infant children, they are also included in that covenant. And what a promise is also in the scripture concerning our seed, a reflection sermon upon the water of holy baptism, and be distinguished from the children of unbelievers, as was done in the old covenant or testament, by circumcision, instead of which baptism is instituted in the new covenant. And now to reflect upon our baptism. Is there that distinguishing? Is there that separation? Can the world truly say, that is one, that is under the truth, and that has been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost? Because we read in the third commandments that the Lord is a jealous God of his honor, and in the second commandment, and that concerns the worship of God, that includes the sacraments and visiting the iniquity of the fathers unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thus, when we are given to reflect upon the water of holy baptism, then what an admonishment it is for us and our children when we consider the second and third commandment to remain under that old and tried truth, where it may be declared free in sovereign grace, and the way that the Lord holds with a poor sinner to come to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God, because evidence and history teaches us when we depart from that old truth, sometime one generation, and it is a generation that it is no longer, that the following generation, or at least the generation after, is not even baptized to receive the sign and the seal of the covenant, that they grow up as complete heathens. Thus concerning that reflection, then the necessity of much and persevering prayer that the Lord may do for us and our children what is signified in the sacrament, and that is to be washed and cleansed in the precious blood of his dear Son, and where the Lord has promised that under his word that it shall not return void, but that the Lord shall continue to gather his church, as I read in Psalm 72 verse 5, they shall fear thee as long as the sun and the moon endure throughout all generations. And therefore we sing with the administration, Jehovah's truth will stand forever. His covenant bonds he will not sever. The word of grace which he commands to thousand generations stands, the covenant made in days of old with Abraham he doth uphold. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, may it please thee to teach and instruct us also concerning the sacrament of holy baptism, and impress it upon all our hearts that we have thy thrice holy name upon our foreheads. Lord, wilt thou be the after preacher? We may commence the last week of the year, when thou granteth it 5 more days. Ah, wilt thou keep us under thy kind care and under thy protection? Take none of us away unexpectedly and unprepared. Wilt thou keep and watch over us in the home, at work, on the way, wherever we are called to be. And may it please thee, in the evening of the last day, that we may come together as a congregation to thy house. That is the best and such a fitting place to close the year that has nearly run its course. Lord, impress the shortness, the solemnity, the seriousness of life, and the certainty of death, judgment, and eternity upon all our hearts. May we be given to examine ourselves where our journey is to. Lord, then the solemn question, whether it is well with us, whether it is well with our husband or wife, our children, Lord, when it is not well, may it please thee to magnify thy grace in the last days of this year. We may acknowledge thee for thy help, and then by renewal, then we commend man and beast unto thee in the winter weather. Forgive us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 425, let us only sing 5 and 6. Jehovah's truth will stand forever. His covenant bonds he will not sever. The word of grace which he commands, 2,000 generations stands, and what follows, 425, only 5 and 6. grace save the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. And the Lord bless thee and keep thee. And the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.